Blog Talk Radio.
Awesome. Well, I tell you, God keep doing great things for all of us. I am Dr. Lorenzo D. Smith, the host of Talking Sports Plus. So I'm so excited to be here again on this Wednesday night. We'll call this Wonderful Wednesday. some of us identify as being hump day. So we're going to take advantage of an opportunity to talk about some sports tonight. And I want you to be ready to get with us because you can use the call-in number 347-857-4192. Now, we don't own the rights to that song, but we like playing some good music. You know, first, there ain't no stopping us now because we're on the move. As I said, this is our second year, so we're so excited. So if you want to go to the web link and listen to the show, you go to www.blogtalkradio.com/LD Smith Production. Now, if you really want to kind of really get into communication with us, you can go to our email, talkingsportsplus@gmail.com. You can tweet us at talkingsports with the number one, as well as at Lorenza D. Smith, at Daryl Elliott with the number one, at Tremaine Edwards with the number seven, and then at Kiwi underscore don't underscore care. Like I said, we got all those ways to communicate with us. You can, and we look forward to hearing from you. Our title for the show tonight is Week 4 Analysis of a Sports World. Now, I do have one of my co-hosts that's on the line, and I want to make sure I give him that formal introduction, and my team kind of know how I like to try to introduce them to the max. All right, this gentleman hails from South Alabama. He's known as the Don King of Entertainment. He's our coach of the airway, and we're so happy to have him because his name is Daryl E-Train Elliott. Bring your train on, E-Train.
I'm so appreciated. I'm so much appreciative, Dr. Smith, for the introduction. And hello, everybody. Thanks for being on the show. Let's get this thing going.
Awesome, awesome. You know, it's always good. It just seems like so we be running a 202, a two-man show, but it's all good. But I'll Touchdown Tony said he'll be joining us in a little bit. So we will have Touchdown Tony. Now, also, we want to introduce our other co-host. We have the lady of the hour, the millennial. Even though she's not with us, she told me she was going to do her best. She had a tough one at rehab yesterday on that knee yesterday, and she want everybody to know she's hanging in there. She posted on Facebook. She's trying to get better. That knee is trying to get there where it needs to be. That's 70 right now, meaning 70 degrees after the surgery and everything. And that's Coach Lauren D. Smith, our millennial. Also, hails from North Alabama. The man that's so famous, the term he always used when he dealt with everybody. And I like to shout him out because I know his mom is listening to the show. And I want to make sure I shout him out like I need to. He said, he's famous, said, ain't no fun when the rabbit got the gun. That's Coach Tremaine Edwards. And I'll make sure if you do Touchdown Tony when he comes in here because I know he's coming. There, you know, this week is, it's a special week. We already at Wednesday, and we had some breaking news. You know, we said week 4 analysis of a sports world. Breaking news. Early this morning, we got some breaking news. And it's dealing with Clemson University. And talking heads and pundits just got crazy. Now, you know, that's why, you know, we're glad to be able to talk on this show, but we're the voice of historical black colleges, high school and middle school in the southeastern part of the United States. But we talk all kind of news. We talk hot topics. We talk what's going on in sports. So there, we had a situation where the starting quarterback for Clemson, Kelly Bryant, decided this morning he'll no longer be a part of the team. What does that mean for Clemson? Tell me your thoughts in regards to that.
Well, Coach, that's a change. And while one man does not make, well, at least in Alabama's situation, one man doesn't make the team, that's a change for Clemson, and I see them being tested with the loss of that talent. I don't know their depth chart. I don't know just how much depth Clemson has. I have not looked at it as strongly as I have Alabama. I know that I've paid Clemson attention, but I know that that is going to be a test for them losing that player. And what say you?
Okay. And it will be because Trevor Lawrence is a young, gifted athlete that stands at 6'4", 6'5", probably 150 pounds with with Brogan boots. You know, old country folk, Brogan boots. You know, however, he was had some success the last ball game. They took Kelly Bryant out. Seemed like he energized the team. So Dabo Swinney decided to go with Trevor Lawrence as starting quarterback. And we know this has been a battle. But, you know, Darryl, I'll go back to something we started off talking about a long time ago and was focused on Alabama. Everybody was focused on Alabama with Jalen and Tua. Everybody, what is Jalen going to do? Well, you know, if Jalen leaves, you know, he needs to leave. They say he leaves, he may hurt the team. If he otherwise, get out of here and go and everything. Now, Jalen made the decision since all the focus was on how Nick Saban was handling. Everybody forgot about Dabo because Dabo was going with the more mature person, which was Kelly Bryant, but had his young man sitting in the background right here waiting to get in there. But he goes in the four games into the season, all of a sudden make the change. And the senior, which this young man is a senior, we got to understand the story. The story is that this young man, Kelly Bryant, is a senior. And if he played in one more game, his career was over with. And I just see the decision being made as a great decision. And before I move any further, I got to introduce our other co-host. I said he was going to step in here. He's sliding here, jumping here. He's a game changer. None other known than touchdown Tony. Tony Starwell. Hey, Coach, how you doing?
What's going on, my brother? What's going on, my brother? Glad to be back on another night of the air.
I'm glad to have you back, brother.
Full force.
Awesome. And, Tony, we were just talking about the situation with Kelly Bryant out of Clemson. That it was breaking news this morning. He decided to leave the program and get that redshirt year back because if he had to play one more game. And as I was saying and telling Darryl, I know you heard as I was talking, pretty much that was a concern with Jalen and Tua. And everybody focused on Alabama. Everybody was criticizing on that end. And they thought Dabo was doing the right thing about, you know, naming this young man the quarterback, Kelly Bryant, and, you know, keeping the other guy in the waiting. However, he made a decision to move to, he said, we'll change his team. And it's, May I'm not gonna say it has backfired, and I think there we was kind of saying from the beginning, you know, you're losing a senior who's been there. But just tell us your thoughts in regards to that because that was breaking news.
Well, let's step back a little bit. Bryant and Jalen both had a surplus game against each other. You remember last year in the playoffs?
Mm-hmm.
Iowa, Alabama came back. You could have combined both of those quarterback staff and when it got half what Tua has done thus far. I said all of that to say this. Both situations carry a different weight. You said it with a mouthful. You got a sophomore that could actually stay, or even if he goes and have 2 years, you got a senior that this is it, and you got a senior that was questionable. Anyway, from that game, you can't get in the championship games in the playoffs and be average. You know, that's what happened to both quarterbacks. Am I right, Doc Smith?
No, yes.
Jalen and Bryant. So it's a new day. It's a new day, and it's just like Dabo said, now, if I've been changing centers, if I'm changing a tight end, have been changing wide receiver, it would not be questionable. It's changing quarterbacks. He said this. He said, my job depends on decision making. If I make a bad one, I'm gone. If I make a good one, I'm the best guy in the world. So, but I got to make one. The next thing is here. Kellen Bryant is going to probably had no choice in this matter because of the time frame. If you look at that freshman stats coming in, he was signed to play. And if you look at the way they shared both quarterbacks, I think Dr. Smith in the Texas A&M game, am I correct?
Correct.
Where Kevin came back in and won that game. And I think he thought then he had won the position. So I think his decision was pretty well made based on the fact that, and he gave a lot of credit to the young quarterback by saying, hey, I got to look out for myself. So it's a situation where both situations carry a different weight. And the only thing that I hate about that situation with allowing, that situation should be an allowance for freshmen instead of seniors, because it sometimes puts both parties in a bad situation. So if a senior leaving, he can kind of find a team. If a senior leaving a team, he put a coach in a situation to have to go from a freshman now to whatever's left. So it's a rule that's probably going to have to be looked at a little more careful. And all rules that are put in place, I can tell you that from experience, will be evaluated just to see if they're going to be the best move going forward.
And as you stated, touchdown, Tony, you're right. You know, both of those players was game managers, and I think we're gotten to the point where sometimes we think that's a negative thing. That's not a negative thing.
No, it's
and that's
not.
Just
no,
when
it's
I look at it, it's a plus, because I don't really care what people say, how gifted you may be, but if you don't have the experience and seeing certain things at a certain level, it's going to come back and haunt you. Now, the difference, I think, with Jalen, I feel like with Jalen and Tua, that Jalen was willing to stay. Whereas in another situation, the backup is something we're going to talk about. This does put Clemson in a tough situation. First of all, you compare Tua and you compare Trevor. Tua has got 30 pounds on Trevor. 30 pounds of muscle compared
That's
to
right.
a frail body. And a young man like that don't need to be taking these shots, and they're gonna lay the leather to him. So the point is, if he go down, who's there to back him up? So that's why I think Clemson's situation a little different. I think it may have not been handled the way we thought it should have been handled, or should be. We thought it was all only Alabama with the problem, when the truth of the matter, Clemson had a problem brewing, and they didn't realize. I just believe that this situation is different, and they may be identical, but having a quarterback, you know, can come in the game that ain't gonna let stuff rattle him to make sure, you know, he puts you in a winning situation compared to having a backup quarterback, which young man name is Chase. If I'm trying to get his name, Chase Bryce. You know, coming
right.
in, it's a bit different now. This decision could be the difference between in the playoff and not being in the playoff.
We said
they may not have the opponents, but every opponent they're gonna play gonna go after this frail young man. There's nothing to do about it. You know, and a couple shots here and there. We can say that you was giving up too much to Brian, but you got to think about it. I would have kept Brian around here and just, you know, pleased him and brought the other boy in until he could get to the point to understand what's going on. Now you stuck with him, and you're going to be stuck with the backup that's not capable of doing it. I don't care what everybody said. The backup won't do all right. No. It's not going to be like that. So we got a tough situation here. Because Chase Bryce, I don't think he's gonna be in a position to be the way Jalen would be coming off the bench, because he's just not the kind of player.
So, Dr. Smith,
but that's about
Dr. Smith. Sometimes I think, and I respect both coaches to the highest. And if you notice, Dabo is rolling the dice with University of Alabama, because he knows that's the king of the hill, and that's where you got to get by if you're going anywhere. But let's put ourselves in Dabo's situation. Do I go with Kevin, which I've already evaluated and found out that he can only do so much, or do I take a chance on keeping Kevin and lose a quarterback that could give me a possibly 3 years? It's a tough call, and I'm sure that the coaches want the players to make the decision. And they feel like once they make the decision about who's going to play, that extends the decision-making process. So somebody's going to say, oh, it ain't me. So, hey, I slap in my face. It's time to go. But it's a big world out there in that college football because it markets so much revenue, and those coaches get paid so much money, and as Dabo said, to make decisions. And you don't never know when a decision is right or wrong until after you make it. It's going to have to be evaluated. So we don't want any of the listeners to think that that's a downplay with coaches when it comes to that, because we're former coaches. We just want to let them know there's it's a bigger world out there in that level or at that level that constitutes pressure from a lot of angles because there's so much revenue being given to coaches and not none given to student athletes. So they're going to make those decisions so they can generate a possible career of their own somewhere else. Isn't that right? So it's just one decision dictates everybody else's outcome. That's bottom line.
Exactly. And we have to continue to keep in mind when you make the decision or whatever the outcome is, it's going to be yours. You got to own it.
Yes, there.
So I want to ask you and Tony both. First, Tony, then you, Dr. Smith. Tony, you know, Texas A&M, my good friend Virgil told me it's not going to be Alabama's. I don't know. I don't even know how to say it. But the bottom line is, I want to get your opinion on this weekend's coming up game. I know Alabama's got an easy one this weekend, but who starts the game this weekend?
For Alabama.
Virgil told me yes. He told me that because of the Heisman, that they're going to put their starting quarterback in to keep his numbers up. And he may even play the whole game. My whole thing is what does that do for Jalen Hurts if they do that?
Well, I think, Darryl, being on the outside, we can all formulate opinions just like Virgil did. And then when we start asking questions, we want to get another outlook from someone else. The inside thing is this. Jalen has made that decision to stay. If he made that decision to stay, it's based on something that he feels that he can prosper. The world of sports has found out that the decision that Saban made with quarterback fits the offense because you got so many athletes that probably wouldn't be able to prosper in a management type setting in which Jalen was doing or was asked to do anyway. So I think you got to look at it like, yeah, I know where I am. Yeah, if he's a starter, I want to think like I was. I didn't want to be a part-time starter, meaning that I start this game, don't start the next one. I understand my role. I understand where I am. I'm not going to be a controversialist. Coach, it's your call. I'm in with the program. Here it is. So, yeah, I'm going with this. Two going to start, and he has done enough with almost, help me out, Dr. Smith, 4.5 touchdowns a game, all right?
And has not
played a whole game. Heck, to play a whole game now ain't gonna make no difference because hey, the Heisman is up for grab anyway. He has already grabbed it, so he can play two quarters as long as they win. They know the situation, the selection committee, and hey, start Tua, Jalen, play your role. Tua could at any given time, because of who he is, could get hurt. Jalen ain't got to find a team. He's on a team. He's done enough to be seen. The world knows he can throw it now because he has when he get a chance. So, hey, it's a workable thing. Kudos to Nick Saban for being a manager of the game. That's why he hired Jalen from the first place. They got something in common.
Exactly.
And Dr. Smith, what is your take on that?
At this point, I think that it's working, and I think Tua will play, and I think it's going to stay there like it's been going. It's not going to be Tua play more and, you know, play the whole game to boost his stats up. I think he would play just like he played the first quarter. I thought the game going to be out of hand the first half. I mean, the first quarter. He's going to be 30-something nothing the first, you know. So he's going to be there. And to me, I think that you still keep your second thing, or like they say, 50-50, because they get 50-50 at practice. They get 50-50. This is the first time Nick Saban ever let two quarterbacks get 50% of the snaps. Get him, keep him sharp, So later on the line, you might have to use him because Tua may go down, may be hurt. So the bottom line is, it's going to be all about, and Nick Saban, I don't think he's ever been big on just trying to make a player the candidate or the person as a Heisman, but he's all about a team situation. I think Jalen is understanding that. And Jalen knows he can't get the best weight program, the best food, the best conditioning, the best training for whatever he wants to do in the future. Because he will have an opportunity, just like everybody else. He may not be a quarterback, but he's going to have an opportunity. So I just believe that they'll do just like they've been doing. First quarter, two or throw three or four touchdowns, then Jalen will come in and he'll throw then give Jones a chance to play a little bit more in the fourth quarter. That's my take on that end in regards to that.
What's your take, yeah. Darryl?
What he said. I was really shocked. Honestly, I was at the Texas A&M game. I was really shocked at it. You know, I didn't think Alabama would get to 45 points with Texas A&M, and I guess I was looking at it completely wrong. And to allow Texas A&M to score 23 points. It just – Alabama did not look like an Alabama team playing Texas A&M to me. And I guess my expectations was way too high. And then when I saw the reality of what it was, I was like, okay, all right. How are they going to shape up to, one, you know, the bigger teams and the stronger teams? So it's going to be interesting down the line how if Alabama stays healthy and the program gets better. And I just don't think that Alabama's been tested yet. And so my take on it is yes, Jalen Hurts has done exactly what I think Tony said he's done. He's looking down the road going, and you too, Dr. Smith, that he's looking down the road. And if I'm going to be a prospect, you know, for the NFL, then I need to stay where I am because stepping down
that's
to
right.
another school,
that's
stepping
right.
down to another school is really going to hurt him more than it hurt anybody else, you know.
Well,
so
hell, they may have him playing running back in another school. You never know.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. And back to you, Dr. Smith.
And he may not play at all, but it's good to kind of look at it now. Let's go back to Clemson and Kelly Bryant. What SEC schools you can think he may land at, or what school you think he'll land at when he transferred to that may fit his kind of play? What school y'all think in the SEC he made? Because there were three school names that he could land at.
Well, I haven't seen everybody play as of now, but I'll tell you one place he can go and just about be can create a quarterback situation. And that's Auburn University. Let me tell you why. Auburn University's offense is based on having a mobile quarterback. Am I right, Dr. Smith?
You're right.
And Stittman is a pocket quarterback. And this kid could go there, which he probably would never make that decision because he feel like he might get into another type, the same type situation. But at any given point, an athlete like Brian get into that spread offense. And I give Gus credit. Gus is a master of it. He's just not a master of recruiting forward. And I'll take that back, too. He just don't have that quarterback he's been used to having for that. I'll say it like that. The Cams and all the rest of the band. But Auburn would be a perfect set, or a system like Auburn would be a perfect set for him, as he can use his athleticism in an offense that can adjust to his, should I say, his skill level. So I'll say Auburn would be a great fit.
And you know what? Go ahead on there.
Auburn would be a great fit, and Tony's right. Another great fit, well, not a great fit, a great help to the team would be for LSU. I think he could really add a dynamic to LSU's team right now. And that's my little short story on that. I know neither one of y'all see that, but
LSU would put him into a just about back-to-back situation from where he just left, because they both of those quarterbacks seems to fit what they're doing now and seem to be the future of those both of those coaches. And I'm going to agree with you, Darryl, because even I'm talking hypothetical anyway with Auburn. And what we're saying is would be a great fit, not saying that that he's going. And let's make sure our listeners get understand where we're going with this. But it needs to be, and he may have to drop a level, you know, a non-contender so he can play to pad his stats. Dr. Smith, that's another way to look at it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because they know where he came from. He came from top of the mountain. And, heck, if you can play, I'm going to be honest with you, if you can play and have been somewhere and they've already seen you, they're going to follow you. They're going to follow you because it's what you do when you get to that level anyway, not what you did before you got there. What you did before you got there only gets you there. You start all over again. All over again.
And you get it.
Once you put that signage on that paper. So I think he's going to be okay. Usually when they make decisions like that, they got somewhere to go. And they always got somewhere in mind. But I think his decision was made actually after game two. I think he was weighing the scale and waiting for game four to get there. I can see that coming.
Mm-hmm.
I watched every one of the game, and I can see the frustration.
And what another one of the things you got to look at with Kelly Bryant, he's a dual threat quarterback. You know, we talked about that last time. And you're right, Auburn is one of the schools you're talking his and pundits are selected because that fits in what Gus do. He fits in the count of the Cam. He fits in with the Marshall. He fits into that. He'll be a graduate student. Arkansas because Chad Morris recruited him. They fit him going to Chad Morris. Chad Morris needed a quarterback. Then they also selected Florida was another school. Now you got another person. You know, Dan Mullen is a dual threat quarterback. He don't have that down there with Felipe. You see, he don't have so.
That's right.
Those are the three schools in SEC they are talking about. And one school that they are also talking about is UCLA. Because UCLA, Chip Kelly needs a dual-threat quarterback to make his offense work. And Kelly Bryant will give him that. But those are the four schools they've been talking about. So that's sort of like the hot topic right now, and I wanted to kind of get that in. Now, let's kind of get with our agenda because we want to make sure we touch a few things. Biggest shocker of week four, and I'm going to just throw this one out to you. Old Dominion beating number 13, Virginia Tech. What's your thoughts, brother? It's going to take about a couple minutes to talk about it. We got some other topics you want to hit on.
If I'm ahead of a ball game, and I feel like I need to put a game away, I'm going to try to make the best decisions possible. I saw a few decisions not being made because I think somebody was basically, well, I say it like this. They took the metal off the pedal. That's what they did, pedal off the metal. And it allowed a team. I'm going to tell you something. I never seen a comeback like that before anyway. So I think it could have happened to anybody. So I'm not going to degrade Virginia Tech in that manner. It's just that it shows that in any given time, unless you're playing Alabama, you have to go ahead and put a team away before you take anything for granted, even with 6 minutes left in the third or five left in the fourth. You got it. And I think that's a typical example of how, other than Alabama again, there's a creative balance in competitiveness in major college football. I want to be honest with you. I don't got to a point now where if I want to look at a competitive game, I don't watch Alabama because it's predictable. You already know what's going to happen. So that game amazed me because I got a chance to see something like an underdog jump back in there and fight hard. And that's probably something that's more inviting now than blowout. That's my take on it.
You know, Dr. Smith and Tony, I want to tell you this. One thing that I did see, and I watched most of that game, one thing I did see was I saw that Old Dominion sat down, the coaching staff up top sat down and said, let's go ahead and swat this team right now. They found their strength. They found their weakness. Mm-hmm. They found the opportunity, and they created the threat. And to me, they picked Virginia Tech apart. Virginia Tech maybe, just maybe, took them for granted at a moment, and that moment shifted the momentum in the game. But the reality was, if you look back at that game and look back over it, they picked them apart in terms of their defense and offense and made some opportunities out of that. And from that,
exactly.
they were able to come back. Just like Tony said, they were able to come back. And perhaps at that time, they didn't understand what I was looking at. And that's them picking them apart on their offense and their defense. And perhaps, you know, and Tony's right, you can't gauge anybody against Alabama. But I think in that respect, that's what happened with them. Back to you, Dr.
And it also allowed these teams now to be on notice. When you pay this money for these teams to come to you, you know, you got to realize these teams can beat you. These teams can have your hand on the plate because they got athletes as well, but they may not have as many. And I think that's one of the reasons why I think that some of the teams don't play teams in their state, because Old Dominion and Virginia Tech is right there, because Virginia Tech is the big, as the coach said, they the big dog.
Very good point.
And we, mm-hmm. we came down to play them, and they let us play. And they got like a 13-year series or something like that. They're going home to home basis for 13 years. So it's a good chance
that's
like
right.
13 years you might lose. So what Virginia Tech got to do is no longer take them as their little brothers over there, because now they have beat you one time. They ain't got to beat you no more, because they shocked the world. They shocked everybody. That's the biggest shock of last weekend. So you ain't going to be taking nobody
yeah.
light anyway. Yes.
And I'm sorry for butting in, but I got to ask you and Tony both this question. You, Dr. Smith, first, and then Tony. All right, real quickly, I don't want to get off your course, but I got to have an answer for this. Why is it that Alabama and Auburn won't give Troy a game?
Okay, so I'm going to do like they said now. They really don't want to allow Troy, which we know Troy can play, to be on the level they are in football in the state for the purpose of recruiting. Now, that's what I've heard, and that's why they won't play Troy. And they won't play South Alabama. They won't play UAB because they feel like it hurts their recruiting in the state if those teams beat them. Now, they'll play Alabama State. They'll play A&M because they know those teams not going to beat them. They'll play these other schools, but they're just not going to play those teams, which they know. You know Troy can play at the same level that the University of Alabama, Power Five, we just said Power Five. UAB is coming around. So they just don't want to lose to them. That's just the bottom line, and they're not going to play them. So you can forget getting the schedule at this time with those, because they're not going to be like Old Dominion and Virginia Tech. You can share your thoughts on. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Dr. Smith, you hit a nail with the hit the hammer with the, on the top of the nail. Recruitment is the objective here, because you remember the situation back when everybody was down on Alabama because they wouldn't play UAB. That was just like 4 years ago, wasn't it? Am I right?
Yeah, it's been like 4 or 5 years ago.
Blakely had the high-powered offense down at Troy that was catering toward a lot of D1 players that wasn't getting what you call a lot of notoriety. And to line up against those kind of players, and even if the game is 7 to 10 points difference, it's going to hurt your recruit market. It's going to hurt your recruit market. So you got to stay away from that and deal with the teams in the state that you don't have, should I say, a issue with recruiting with, like Alabama State University and A&M. Maybe South Alabama, but not South Alabama now, because South Alabama now went ahead and invested in a marketable coach. But it's all about the recruitment. It's enough for the University of Alabama, Darryl, to have to compete or worry about Auburn still in one or two. They're not going to have another school in the state. I can say that now. So it's the recruitment, Dr. Smith. You hit the nail on the head. And I hope that is the answer that you were seeking, Darryl.
Yes, sir. Thank you both. Thank you, gentlemen, both. And back to you, Dr. Smith. I want to let you get back on your schedule.
All right. That's awesome. Awesome. All right. Now, I just want to talk about and the call-in number is 347-857-4192. So excited about, you know, these topics we're on right now. But if you want to be a part of it, just press 1. When you call in to the call-in number, press 1. and I and we'll identify you with the last four digits of your cell or telephone number. Then we'll ask you to identify yourself and your location. Then jump in the conversation. Let us know what you think about the big shockers of a week four. But this next topic is one we want to talk about, and we'll spend a few minutes talking about it, is how did the commercial aired by Nike, Just Do It, and promoted by Colin Kaepernick, impact society?
Well, I give you a marketing strategy. Well, number one, you know, this thing is all about money for Nike. Off the top, they knew that their brand is not the United States. Their brand is global. And there's enough mm-hmm. people globally who support Colin Kaepernick to know that there was a win-win for them globally. Their shares went up. As far as making an impact on people, you saw the haters burning the shoes, and you saw people rise up and stand with it. But people have it didn't create more divisiveness. It only just brought out what was already been said for those who support and those who don't support. The bottom line is that you're going to see more and more people, I think, more and more companies jump on this bandwagon with Kaepernick, because they realize there's a way to make money from it, number one. And that's it. Everybody company-wise is going to always look at their bottom line and how can they market this for them to make money. But it's also an opportunity for Kaepernick to fund his family and make some money himself. I think he was wrongly done, and I think a lot of people see that it's wrong. He was wrongly done. But our biggest bully, if you think about it, the real impact was media. The real impact on this is media and how things are perceived when we look at it on TV and what they paint the picture as. So in the short term, and that perspective for me, the impact was non-existent in such a way that it changed people's mind or changed anybody's mind. It just magnified what was already been said. Tony, what's your take on it?
There are you. I knew you were going to be real good on this topic when I read the pre-agenda, and I always read the pre-agendas. I'm retired now. I read it in its entirety because I don't have a day.
Mm-hmm.
And you said it with a mouthful. I knew you would handle this real well. Here it is, gentlemen. It's a business. Let's go back. First of all, Kaepernick. That's it, right?
Kaepernick. Yes. Kaepernick.
Kaepernick.
Yes. That's right. Yeah.
First of all, he's not on anybody NFL roster.
Roster. Yep.
The next thing is the slickest PR move any genius could make. Am I right there?
Ooh.
Are you there?
Absolutely,
yes,
brother. Oh, yeah, absolutely, brother. Go ahead.
Now, let me justify what I'm saying. I ain't going to just put you out there in the hayfield and don't give you no tractor now. Here we go. The majority of your NFL players that are making the majority of the contracts, even with Michael Jordan, or you can start with Mike and stay with Mike, and Spike Lee, of course, are owned by Nike. The biggest issue that Kaepernick had was social injustice. Social injustice is catered toward who? Afro-Americans.
Afro-Americans,
so,
blacks, yep.
Well, here I am in the middle, but I'm really not in the middle. I don't jump on both sides. I just signed a contract with the league that goes to 220 for multi-million billions. I'm not going to lose in between now because the court case is going to settle with Kaepernick anyway, because NFL, what they really don't want to do is have a whole lot of controversy and cause a whole lot of issues between what? The big money players, the NFL getting what? Problem from the big money players, so is Nike. So Nike jumps right in the middle and say, okay, we got to get some PR out of this too. We got 1 + 1 = 2. We got those two. Let's get the biggest prize. Let's jump on Cap's side, because Cap ain't even with what in the NFL. So it's a PR move. It's definitely a PR move.
Yeah.
And by him not being on a roster and him being a spokesman for the NFL on the outside, Let me tell you something. He could be second to Michael Jordan here in a minute, in a way, and don't even have to play. Or I could say he could be, let's say this. Let me just put this thing in a more of a perspective. I don't want to get out of bounds. He can be the biggest endorser that's not running up and down the field or shooting a basket in any sport with Nike.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And you can't blow it out. You cannot ever blow business out of proportion. You have to understand business. Business is all about capitalism and money. And if it ain't neither one of them involved in it, ask Trump. That's what Trump said. Trump said they hate me. They hate me because I got money.
Wow.
But Tony, if you don't mind me saying, Tony, I couldn't have not put that any better. And the reality is that Kaepernick and of course globally Nike wins in this, and you're going to see more of this. You're going to see more of this. It's not going to stop with Nike. Another company is going to grab Kaepernick as this controversy continues to grow. I can all but promise you, Kaepernick is somewhere else now, probably shooting the next commercial for some other company with that type of brand idea of fairness to people in this country without ever really saying it, but you get the hint of that. And so I see it happening, and I see money being made from it. And then the bottom line is, it's all about the money. Back to you, Dr. Smith.
Hey, let me just quote you two statements to show you how this could be a very definitive thing when it comes to the NFL showing you that they're going with the flow. The NFL released a statement Tuesday saying that the league believes in dialogue. Notice the term dialogue now. Also understanding. They letting us know that what? They understand social justice, social injustice. And they also understand unity, meaning they don't want to what? They don't want to break up this what? Break up that money. See, I'm looking at every angle of the words they're using. And they embrace the role and responsibility of everyone involved. They ain't leaving nobody out. Why? Because they profit both sides. And last but not least, this is what they said, and I'm gonna move on. They said that the social justice issues that Colin and other professional athletes, now you see where I'm going with this, have raised, and they said it deserves our attention, our as in Nike, and our action. Yeah. The statement concluded and says, Nike is in. Let's do it.
So let me ask you this question, and I'm sorry, Dr. Swift, I know you got other things you want to try to get in, but let me ask this question. Why isn't it time for Kaepernick to be on somebody's roster? Why isn't it, Dr. Smith? You or Tony, tell me.
You want to start off, Dr. Smith?
Yeah. I think one of the things you have going on, you're getting these owners, you know, we have to remember, I'm just going to kind of put it like this. And you can call in, you can join us as well, 347-857-4192, share your thoughts. You have 32 white billionaires who's NFL owners. And those 32 billionaires would rather keep a smart football player, a person that they don't consider to be up at their level, down at the bottom. So he's not going to be on anybody's roster because each one of them afraid to put him on the roster because of the other one. Maybe that helps out right there. Go ahead on, Tony. You can kind of add to that.
Sometimes you can play the wrong card to display your thought process. It's a dangerous business to play with two things, the national anthem and G.O.D. There are other ways sometimes to send a message. It scares some people because the way some people feel about equality and how some people feel about religion. That's always been a scary notion because of how some people put themselves into their, in other words, some people's belief system. Another thing with this issue is you're not losing anybody. That was a player that was already what? In the process of possibly being cut by who? 49ers.
Yep.
And would have probably been on somebody else's roster at the expense of experience and already being in the league. But why take a chance on him now? Because he's taking a what? Another stand that's going to earmark our program back what Darryl said. I mean, what you said, Dr. Smith. And now the owner's got to deal with, hold up now, is this going to be something at the expense of a player that's really not proven some of the things that we have? I don't think so. This is not Tom Brady here now. We have to be real, real careful about this. And, again, we got to be able to make a business decision. No, we'll let this play out because he has taken on another brand anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Because now the whole nation is involved, starting with Trump. So it caused too much unnecessary drama that will cause owners to have to work. No owners are rich people or drillers, plenty of money. They don't have time to be confused with issues. They spend time counting revenue and trying to find out how they're going to keep money flowing. They don't have time for issues. They ain't going to buy no issues. So it's one of those that, oh, no, we can't touch this. This is not anything that's going to really profit. Let's let this play out. So, hey, now let's go back to Nike. They can't touch it, but guess who can? Nike. So it goes to show you how this whole story unfolds, to who can, who's not, and how he's going to not lose entirely in this situation because of Nike, because Nike likes their brand to be with the flow. And he's going to, Dr. Smith, get some money out of the lawsuit too now. So it's not a dead. And how many years can you actually play in the NFL anyway?
Nah, you're 7 or 8, you're good.
Right.
Yeah, 10 is a long time. 10 is a long time.
He stay out here with Nike and keep fighting, and Nike keep buying his brand for the next 4 or 5 years. He wouldn't have to work no more anyway and still be healthy.
Exactly. Yeah. The bottom line is all about affecting bottom line.
That's right.
That's what it's all about. It's all about affecting the bottom line. And we have to keep that in mind. Those owners saying you're going to affect the bottom line. Why is this little person who worked for us, who worked with trying to affect my bottom line by, you know, boycotting or protesting or doing something like that? So that's what we're dealing with. All right. We want to get to our next topic, but we want you to join us, 347-857-4192. And the next topic we just definitely got to look at, and I hope the team had a chance to kind of catch wind of this. We want to discuss the racist comment made by the Texas school superintendent about Deshaun Watson. He's a former, now he's a former because he resigned last weekend. Former superintendent Lynn Redden stated that when you need precise decisions making, you can't count on a black quarterback. All right, brother, let's take some time to talk about it and make sure you call in and join in the conversation. Can't count on a black quarterback if you want precise decisions now.
I'll make, if you want to know my feelings about that, it's racist, true enough, but it was also stupid. It shows just how shallow some people are in these positions that don't need to be in these positions. Regardless if you felt they were or not, that was not something for him to say, being a professional and certainly being in education. But yeah, my feelings on it was stupid, and he should have resigned because there was no good thing that was going to come out of that ever for him moving forward. So that's my short spiel. Tony, go ahead, get technical with this.
Listen to this. The superintendent from Unalaska Independent School District resigned after a controversial comment. How in the hell is that controversial when he was explicit about it? That ain't controversial, is it?
He called names.
From the streets, all he said is this. It gets down to it. You cannot depend on a black quarterback to make an intelligent decision at that position. That ain't controversial. He made a statement. Okay, here's my take. First of all, did you ever hear what I had just said? He was from an independent school. What that mean?
Private. He'd do what he wanted to do.
Not private. He's an independent school. He got 42 years in Texas in the Board of Education as an educator. He's over the hill. If he got 42 years the numbers back. I retired with 35. I'm 62. He got 42 years in him. He's probably, what, pretty close to 70. He's from the old cotton field. Can't let it go. And I'm going to tell you something. And don't you gentlemen ever forget this. I don't care how you may pretend to be something. In the heat of the moment, whoever you are always comes out.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's two words that we always jump on to try to bail us out. I apologize, and I'm sorry. Hell, we need to take them two words out of vocabulary we mess up. And it always gets them going. But it's like situations where, here's the good part that came out of this. And I did my research on this too there. I ain't got number time now. First of all, he called a special call meeting with the board and resigned 2 days, or the same, 1 day after he said this, actually the same day. He did that morning, next day. The next thing is, he said this, I apologize more than once, because when I met this young man and went face to face and apologized to him, I was startled with his humbleness and how intelligent he was to accept my mistake that could have globally ruined him as an individual. God works in mysterious ways. The same mess he put out there came back and hit him in his face. If I had known the type of character this guy was, I would have never made this statement. Sometimes we put the cart before the horse. That's my take.
And no doubt, Tony, no doubt. It always happens that way. And sadly to say, it happens in America too often. We are all misjudged just by the color of our skin and we're not judged by the content of our character. And, you know, people have often said those things to me. I didn't know that you were as smart as you are, Mr. Elliott. And it's amazing how they conform when one can speak their language and speak it better than them. Back to you, Dr. Smith.
Hey, Dale,
exactly.
Let me ask you and Dr. Smith something.
Mm-hmm.
When I read this statement right here, I want y'all to tell me what's been left out of here. Listen to this. I quote what he said. I want to express my deepest apologies to the Board of Trustees, the staff, students, the patrons of this independent school district for the comments I made on Facebook. The comments were wrong and inappropriate, and listen to this now, and have been an embarrassment to the district, my family, friends, and to me. For this, I'm deeply sorry. What the hell did he leave out?
He didn't apologize to an entire race of people.
Yeah, two things, Dale. You just brought up not only to a whole type of race of people. He didn't even apologize to the person. He did it too.
They go to show you
how they so easy to flip the script and go back to who they really are. You are who you are. I'm just being honest with you now. And it usually comes out of your mouth. Because I'm very, 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 very careful how I judge the way a person looks. Now, if you look bad, sometimes I'm thinking you might be bad, and if you look broke, you might be broke. But I'm going to tell you something. An intelligent racist is hard to find until he or she get in the heat of what? The moment, and it always, always come out. It comes out because it's in there.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Most definitely. That's what I'm talking about. And you can be a part of this conversation as well. That's 347-857-4192. So, you know, you can join us and share your thoughts on it. You know, we're going to kind of move our agenda on. And if you would just like to just be a part of just that conversation, you still can call in, press 1, and I identify as the 4 digits of your cell and telephone number, and as well as ask you to come on and identify yourself and your location. All right, next thing, we're going to kind of not leapfrog what we had on our agenda, but we want to talk about some high school, some key matchups coming up this weekend and where some of the teams are. And Coach Starr, you know, I kind of started with We know what happened to Hoover when they run into the buzzsaw last week. Now Central Phoenix, it seems like they got the hold. But didn't this kind of happen like this last year in the state of Alabama in the Power 25 where Central Phoenix City took over the top spot after Hoover lost the game or something like that?
It did, Dr. Smith. But I'm going to be honest with you. I think this could be Hoover's year. Hoover has had an opportunity now to be under Coach DeBose's leadership for a 3-year tenure, am I right?
The kids he had
in year one was some kids that he inherited. Now he's gotten the 9th and 10th grade players, and he sent about 6 to 8 players to Division I schools as a result of it. I think the word I believe is somewhat becoming a part of Hoover, Central Phoenix City's goal. Now, let me just say this now. Don't get this misconstrued there. Hoover ain't dead yet. They kind of like the old fox that's laying out there just watching, just trying to see how this thing gonna work out. Because I'm going to tell you something. Once a champion, always a champion. Also, don't let that 3-2 record confuse you, because that 2 can stay right where it is, and it could easily be 12-2. You know where they'll be then, Dr. Smith? Somewhere in semifinals, isn't that right? But anyway, don't want to spend a whole lot of time on that. Hewitt Trustful is a team to keep an eye on. That's Bear Brown's grandson there at great-grandson at quarterback there. Tyson is the name.
Yep.
And they have done a great job of, I'm not going to use the word recruiting. I will never do that. I want to say this. They've done a good job of marketing their program by enhancing their offerings in their school-based infrastructure. They got an outstanding facility there that any kid that passed by there would say, I would want to go there. So, hey, I think every kid ought to have an opportunity to make a choice to go where they want to, as long as they go through the right procedure. Because if they don't, I won't go there either. Anyway, Thompson is still in line there too, Dr. Smith. Another one of those schools again. But I'm going to tell you somebody that you better keep a real good eye on. And I want to invite you to take a trip with me on game 10 to go up and see Auburn play Central Phoenix City at Central Phoenix City. Probably going to be undefeated. We're talking number 1 and number 4 now, but it could very easily be number 1 and number 2 by the end.
Mm-hmm.
Wetumpka.
Okay.
Wetumpka still at number 1. And Oxford, that came down. Listen to this. Oxford came down to Charles Henderson there week before last and blasted them 62-0. Hope you got a job at where you work in America. But Charles Henderson might be looking back. This week just passed, Pinson Valley went up to Oxford and punished them. So football is getting to be interesting. Another one to look at. Keon Viger, down in Mobile. Viger, ranked number 4 in 4A. And they are looking like a team to be reckoned with later on. Hillcrest Evergreen, right down the road, Darryl. Andalusia last week. 41-0. I take that back. They did get 10. The only loss that Hillcrest Evergreen has is to Greenville. Just stepped in at number 10 in 5A. Football is going to be very interesting. 1A, Mapleville rebound, came back after that whooping they got from Linden. Linden moved up. Lynette still standing strong. That Lynette is one of the big teams that came from 2A up to 1A. Brantley got scooped a little bit with Georgiana. Actually, to be perfectly honest with you, I think Georgiana should have been in the top 10 all the time. They lost to number 2, Laverne. And Laverne is number 2 in the state. I say all that to say this. It's regional play time, and it's time to separate the haves and the have-nots. Or the ears, or the ears down.
Yeah.
Really, football time. And Darryl will tell you, I just get all fired up about this time of year because I love myself some football, even though I'm a basketball guy. It's just something about that football. So, and there you have it. Who was off this week? Spain Park is off this week. A lot of teams are not playing. They're idle. But there are some good games out there. End of the city tomorrow night, you got Jeff Davis and you got Lanier. Throw the records out. We're going to see. Another team to keep your eye on that has stepped up in the top 10 now is the Wolverines from Carver. Undefeated, Daryl. Undefeated. So football is good right here in the inner city. And I'm looking forward for it going down the road. That's it for high school football.
Thus they call him touchdown Tony Stone.
Tony, all right. That's what we get. That's what we asked for. Blitz, he give us a blitz doing it in high school, trying to share some thoughts. We're going to touch on other states at another time, but we wanted to make sure we see all the storylines and what was going on with high school football and the Power 25 ranking in the state of Alabama. But we also want to move to another topic because we're at the end of the show, but we want to talk about this before we close the show out. And we're going to get off football and high school, college. Now, it's all about discussing historical black colleges and universities, but I'm just going to kind of take a step over this time and talk about our man Tiger Woods. Tiger Woods finally won a tournament, and he did an outstanding, he played hard. So we want to talk about, take some time. You can share your thoughts on that, too, by calling in 347-857-4192. Ting, what else? Let's share some things about Tiger Woods. What's your thought about Tiger Woods and his victory this past weekend?
PGA Tour. He's well ranked. The purse he got, $9 million. Should I stop right there?
Yeah.
That was the largest crowd of individuals. Did y'all see that? That followed him going into that last hole.
Yes, sir.
It had four cops that had to stop that many people. But the bottom line is the crowd was roaring so the ground like it was shaking. And when Tiger slid that last one in there, he's down in that hole and pulled one out. The first thing he said to himself, probably said, listen to this now, he probably said, damn, I'm back.
Woo! I'm back.
Maybe Buick will give me that commercial back. Maybe I get my notability back with the women now since I've been in that hole ever since. Maybe I get the devil off me. I still want to say this. Five major surgeries, and it took him 5 years to get back. Y'all, do the math. One surgery a year. Mm-hmm. But when that Negro held his arms up in the air for victory, I did not know that he was that good looking of an athlete. You see the arms on Tiger foot? Good God of you go, Tiger.
I think my story is real short with this. It comes from a marketing point. Tiger needed this legacy of his to be reborn so he can finally sit down and enjoy a legacy of winning. A legacy that he hurt with some decisions that he made. And he needed this comeback in order for his legacy to get the untarnishment away from it and go out a winner. So if he doesn't play another one, he has this victory to walk away from. And that's my short story.
I agree with that, Daryl. So when he made his closing comment on the tour, he said this, and Daryl, very well done. He said, I'm happy because I thought one time I would never even play again. And winning was not one of the things I only just wanted to play again. So it goes to show you sometimes that we can't take a whole lot of things for granted. Because we don't ever know when the end may slip up on us and a new day may not come back because sometimes you may not have another opportunity.
Gotcha. That's said well, and we're going to say hoorah, hoorah to Tiger, and we're here, and we're gonna follow him when we can. We're going to get back and get our golf club swinging. We're going to get them swinging again so we can do what we need to do and enjoy the game of golf. All right. Now, just to close this out, One thing I did want to talk about, some of the scores and the standings in the SWAC and the MEAC. You know, we'll go back and we'll look at the MEAC, which is North Carolina A&T, still rolling, still moving, still going. Then in the SWAC, you had outstanding ball games over the weekend. You had, well, one I know for sure wasn't that great, but they went down there and at least made an effort. Alabama State went down to Grambling, and Grambling just treated them like they was this homecoming queen. But unfortunate, maybe it's a wear and tear playing all these playing Auburn, playing Tuskegee, playing Kennesaw State. So they got Alcorn coming up this weekend in Alcorn. Then Alabama A&M, you better watch out because they did well. They was up 21-7 going into the third quarter, and they end up losing the game 29-27 down in Mobile, which was called the Gulf Coast Classic. So they're bringing it back, and they brought Alabama A&M and Southern in there. Alcorn was also successful. They lead the East with a 3-1 record. So we'll applaud Alcorn, and we got Grambling and Southern over there battling for the West along with Arkansas Pine Bluff. So that's basically how we look at those conferences. And Tuskegee is still doing that thing. They're still rolling, still making it happen, along with Morehouse. So Morehouse is up there competing as well for that East and for the championship in the SIAC. And then we have Virginia State. They was winners last year. They've fallen off a little bit this year. So those are just some of the teams in the MEAC, the SWAC, CIAA, SIAC, and the SWAC. Any other thoughts you want to share with my brother before we get ready to close this show out?
I got one. And you can tell your nephew that he can come back on the air. I'm not going to say anything about Alabama A&M.
All right, I'll make sure I tell him. I tell my nephew what he said. He said, ain't no fun when the got to go out and miss
him. Hey, Dr. Smith, all of them I'm asking one question. I hope he's listening. I want him to ask about that class they taught, class 102.
102.
You know what class 102 is?
Yeah.
102. Major accreditation infraction.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to say that. I'm not going to say that. Quickly come back. Quickly come back. The quicker I let it go.
Okay. All right. He'll know about it. But Clay gonna hold it on, and the king gonna come back, and he's gonna make it do what it do now. But it's good to have him with us, and we know he can't be because he's doing some things right now. But I know he'll eventually get back, as well as Lauren. She had, like I said, she had a real tough. She got up on the bike yesterday at rehab, so she's moving in the right direction. I mean, she got the Bennett that she's gonna be on the bike, so she's moving forth. But it's still gonna take a minute or two, so. All we can say, continue to pray for her and just pray for everybody that's part of this team, as well as everybody that's listening. We just ask you to do that. Now, let's close that out. Let's close it out, and we're going to just holler at you and get ready for you on next week. Coach Starwer, if you want to share some things when we close out, then Darrell E., we kind of wrap it up, then I'll close it out like it needs to be closed out.
From a serious note, Ted Tremaine, we love him. We miss him. And, look, hey, we understand. Sometimes dust get on all our porch. To my goddaughter, raise those legs up, girl. Somebody put a mic at your mouth. Come on, join us. You're going to be all right. And to all of you out there, as always, have a nice day. You take the day, and don't let the day take you.
All right.
And thank you. And thank you very much, everybody, for being part of the show. Remember now, people, throw the rocks. Keep the rocks. Please keep the rocks that people throw at you. Pack them under your feet so you can move higher. Y'all have a good night.
Awesome. And, you know, I can just kind of just add to that, you know, hashtag keep on grinding no matter what happens. Keep on doing what you do. Communicate for understanding. And then you can do it the Smith way. But I always tell everybody as we get to the end of the show, we always talk about how good and God has been for us and what he's going to do for us. We just want to say to you, that, you know, our best days are ahead of us, not behind us. So we want you to make sure you do all you have to do for the upcoming days in front of you, as well as the night. Just make sure you take care of your family, love each and every one of them. And I always say to everybody, I love you, and ain't a thing you can do about it. So have an awesome night. And we'll talk with you.
You may think that it's over.
Thank you, King.
That
thank
your
you,
life
King.
Is done.
The best
oh, my.
Is yet to come.
See, God writes the end before the story begins. Oh, he told me to tell you the best
is yet to come.
As the author of your faith, he wrote in provision for you to win. You're a winner, you're a winner, you're a winner. Yeah. What people told to you ain't true enough.
You ain't seen your best day.
Oh, what a my brother, my brother, my brother. What you know, is on the way. I see you eagle, I see you flying high. Ooh, you ain't seen nothing, you ain't seen nothing, you ain't seen nothing. I know you may think that you have, but God told me to tell you, you gotta keep on fighting, keep on praying. You ain't seen nothing. Thank you, Jesus.